الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم الحمد لله with praise and thank Allah for the name of Iman make us in the ummah of our beloved Habib Sayyiduna Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and blessing us this great and perfect complete and most compassionate deen of Islam الحمد لله we're fortunate to have a guest my respected colleague Mawlana Muhammad Saluji sahab hafidhahullah son of Hazrat Mawlana Shabir Saluji sahab our respected beloved Ustad Mawlana Muhammad sahab is an Ustad at Darul Ulum Zakaria is also mashallah very actively involved locally in various projects, poverty upliftment, as well as the oppressed ummah in different parts of the world, especially for the upliftment, well-being of widows and orphans in different parts of the world where Muslims are under great oppression. This is indeed a very, very noble effort. And we know that one of the major challenges has been discussed recently, and this is from the very early days of Islam, the attempt to deviate Muslims away from Islam in its pristine and pure state, given titles in present times, Abrahamic Accords, or unity or peace. There is no deen that has ever manifested a better example of peaceful coexistence than the deen of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his pristine and pure state. But obviously, and extremely importantly, not to make compromises in the basics, in the usul, in the principles of our deen, thereby drawing the displeasure of Allahu Azza wa Jal. Surah Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, as we have looked at, was revealed for the very purpose when various attempts and efforts were made of a compromise in the basics of deen, and the surah was revealed emphatically denying those options. And therefore, the one who reads Surah Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun every night before sleeping is given a certificate of being absolved from shirk. So inshallah, very, very important advices pertaining to the very protection of our iman, our aqaid, our deen of Islam, for which many, many sacrifices were given from Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in up to this point by our pious senior ulama, the preservation and the protection of deen, an extremely important topic for the protection of our aqaid and beliefs. We call upon Mawlana Muhammad Saluji sahab, hafidhahullah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على سيد الرسل وخاتم النبيين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله العظيم Honorable Ulama, respected elders and brothers, first and foremost, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed each and every one of us with. And most importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from amongst the ummati of Muhammad Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any request, without any eligibility, and without any credibility from outside. This is a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And that is why Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to say that daily we should try and offer two rakats of salatul shukr for this wealth of iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And this will be a means of strengthening our iman, especially in these days whereas we are finding ourselves in various different challenges, various difficulties, turbulent times which the ummah is going through. There's no need to go into all the details of the various different challenges, but I would just like to briefly explain one of the challenges that we as the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is facing over the last 2 or 3 years more particularly. Many of us over the last few years have heard slogans or titles like the nation state, the Abrahamic Accord, Amman Accord sometimes, Cape Accord, various different accords. And if we look at the details of all these accords, it basically goes back into the Abrahamic Accord, linking it outwardly to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now who is Ibrahim alayhi salam and who is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We know that Ibrahim alayhi salam is one of the greatest anbiya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. In fact, Ibrahim alayhi salam is regarded as Abul Anbiya after Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam as the third father amongst the anbiya alayhi salam. And we know the respect and the deep love that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Ibrahim alayhi salam. In fact, in our salah on a daily basis, in our tashahud, we are sending salutations upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as upon Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. So this is the affinity that Islam has with Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam. Why this title Abrahamic Accord was given? The reason for this is that if you look at the major religions that are in the world currently, like Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, each one has some sort of affinity and attachment or many of them claim to have affinity and attachment to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, one is Ibrahim alayhi salam. We understand through the light of Quran and Hadith and Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the other way of understanding Ibrahim alayhi salam is through the Bible. And we know that the Bible is abrogated. In fact, with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the Bible it is mentioned that when Ibrahim alayhi salam traveled to Egypt, and the king was infatuated with the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah, and he tried to make advances towards her, and he was able to do it, to fulfill his needs. This is what is written in the Bible regarding the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it is our belief, as Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the wives of the Anbiya alayhi salam are all chaste and they are all pure. They do not get involved in all those kind of activities. Whereas the version of Islam is the king wanted to make advancements, and each and every time he tried to make advancements to the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made paralysis overcome this person. Two or three times he attempted, and then he realized that he cannot advance anymore. Then he granted Hajar as a gift to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he freed the way. So one way of understanding Ibrahim alayhi salam is through the Bible. And in the Bible, we know what they have said regarding certain Anbiya alayhi salam. For example, Lut alayhi salam was a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Bible, it is mentioned that the daughters of Lut alayhi salam, na'udhu billah, made Lut alayhi salam, who is a great Nabi, drunk, and then they had a relationship with him. And from there, the male progeny of Lut alayhi salam, was the origin for the male progeny of Lut alayhi salam. So there's only two ways of understanding Ibrahim alayhi salam. One is through the Bible, which is abrogated, which is incorrect in front of us in the current form. And one is through the Quran. And we know that the Quran is preserved in its pristine and pure form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum dinakum. We know this ayah of the Quran was revealed on the day of Arafah. And many ulama say it was on the day of Friday in the Mubarak months of Hajj. And inshallah, we are going in those hands. Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum dinakum. That today I have perfected this deen for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And Allah says that I have chosen for you Islam as a complete deen. Now deen encompasses each and every aspect of our lives. Our worship, our social and family setups, our economic, finance and commercial aspects of life as well. Unfortunately, we have reduced the understanding of deen to that of certain rituals, which is our salah. We read our salah, mashallah, we discharge our zakat. The Mubarak month of Ramadan came past. We fasted in the month of Ramadan. Hajj will be coming. Many brothers will be going for Hajj, inshallah. Together with that, some forms of worships, certain rituals that we have, our nikah, our aqiqah, etc. And this is what we have understood and reduced deen to. When it comes to our family setup, our social setup, when it comes to our business, our commerce, our financial aspects of life, there we are taking guidance from other systems other than the system of deen. So that is not deen. We need to, inshallah, endeavor and try and make a concerted effort that each and every individual, including myself, how can we bring about complete deen in all its aspects, whether it be our... In fact, if we look at the criminal system also, and if we go back about 100 years ago, when the West and the imperial powers came into power and they brought an end to the Khilafah, at that time they said that you as a Muslim community, wherever you are in the world, the criminal system, the criminal justice system will be ours. The economic and financial system will be ours. Yes, you as a Muslim, you want to have your social setup, your nikah, your talaq, your inheritance, etc. You can have your bodies and you can go and sort out your according to your religion. Now, 100 years later, those privileges that were given at that particular time, that is also now being slowly taken away, and the box is now narrowing slowly and slowly. And those privileges that a person had in different parts of the world, wherein you could sort your own nikah and talaq and the state wouldn't get involved directly, very soon that also will be taken away, and the state will be directly interfering in the matters of nikah, talaq, as well as inheritance, and that will be contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already determined for us in the Quran. Nevertheless, so understanding Ibrahim alayhi salam, the correct way of understanding Ibrahim alayhi salam is only from the Quran. Now, under the commentary of the Abrahamic Accord, there are primarily four objectives which they want to get across in the Muslim world. The first is to introduce apostasy in Islam. In other words, all religions are equal And one person should not be advocating the supremacy of and the absoluteness of Islam. So every religion, whether a person is a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, a Rasta, whichever religion a person is following, Islam, they are all exactly equal. You cannot say that one religion is superior to another religion. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned in the Quran, Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam, that the only religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept is that of Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whosoever adopts any other religion other than Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes it will never ever be accepted from this. So this is the first objective of the Abrahamic Accord, introducing apostasy into Islam. The second is, in the name of unity, they are trying to stop the spread of Islam. And inshallah, this also they will be unsuccessful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Through their mouths, their desire is to try and extinguish this flame of Islam and this flame of deen. But they will be unable to do so because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a caretaker of this deen. The third thing which they want to achieve through the Abrahamic Accord is to engage in the message of the enemy of Islam. What does this mean? This means that wherever the Muslims are being oppressed, and we know it is only the Muslim community that is generally oppressed throughout the world. If you see wherever the wars are taking place in the world, Burma, Kashmir, what is happening in India now, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, and the list will just go on and on. It is all Muslims. So the oppressed must become the must be regarded as the oppressor, and the oppressor is now victimized, and he needs to be sympathized with. So to change the entire message and the entire narrative, that the Muslims who are oppressed, they are the oppressors. So what is directly linked to the handing over of Palestine to the Jewish state of Israel in the name of Abrahamic Accord. Many people have already must have seen in the media that the signing of Palestine, which was done to the Western powers, was done in the name of Abrahamic Accord. And the headquarters of this is in the Middle Eastern, one of the Middle Eastern countries, in the cities there, where the entire planning for the implementation of the Abrahamic Accord is taking place there. So, and the fourth objective of this year is that the land between the Euphrates and the Nile, which determines the trail of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his journeys, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of in the Quran, that too, that entire, that means from the Nile Euphrates, from Egypt right up to Iraq, this entire piece of land under the name of Abrahamic Accord, in the name of unity. So the Muslims of those areas who are being oppressed, who are losing lives, who are being innocently killed, since we all know about, they will be continue to be killed. You must hand over your land, hand over what you own, whatever resources you have, and give it over. Why? Because we want to achieve unity, which is a great objective. So in the name of unity, you must lose the essence, your religion, your belief must be stained. In the name of unity and in the name of peace, you must lose your homeland, you must lose whatever you earned, whatever you have built up, and whatever you, wherever you are coming from, you must give that up, all in the name of unity. So this is, in a nutshell, what is the objective of the Abrahamic Accord. Now this is the Abrahamic Accord, and the rollout of it in the world is done in different names. So if you look at the content of the Abrahamic Accord, these four points are the core message. Together with that, there is they include aspects of feminism, and we know whether you call it humanism, feminism, liberalism, these are all concepts which are contrary to Islam. Islam is Islam. There is no other system. It is either Islam or it is not Islam. There are certain aspects of feminism, certain aspects of communism and humanism and liberalism is all directly contrary to what Islam. For example, many times we understand that the Christianity is the largest religion in the world, but many of brothers feel that it is not Christianity that is the largest religion in the world, it is liberalism that is the largest religion in the world. And how? If you have to go to a Jew or Christian or anyone for that matter who believes in their scriptures, and you ask that how was this world formed? What is the origins of this world? Now we know that our scripture, the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the origins of this world. In their books also, the origins have been mentioned. But if you go, for example, to a Christian and ask him, he will not go back to his book and say, my book says this. He says, you know what? Let me go to this university or this professor or maybe to Darwinism or something. So he's changed his view. He doesn't believe in his book anymore. He is adopting a concept of liberalism, and liberalism is the overarching religion. Or if you go to a Jew and you ask him what you think about organizing society or the critical race theory, he won't go to his book and say what my book says. What he'll do is, he might go to some professor or some security company that will advise him on that particular matter, and that will be his thought. So he's not going to his book, he's going to liberalism. And liberalism can be defined in two things: anything that is anti-traditional, and anything that is continuously updating and changing all the time. So something that is continuously updating and changing all the time needs to be adopted, whether your religion accepts it or your religion doesn't accept it. Now, Islam has defined everything for us. Everything is completely, from the start till the end. There is no need for us to reinterpret or redefine Islam. So one incident of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned to justify the objectives of the Abrahamic Accord, and that incident is regarded as the Hilful Fudul. So these two or three slogans are very commonly used. They call it the virtue of the alliance of virtue, Hilful Fudul, the alliance of virtue, or they call it the Baytus Salam, the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the house of peace. Now what happened is, 20 years prior to Nubuwa, in Makkah Mukarramah, it was the days of Jahiliyyah, and there was a person from a poorer community who came for business. And while he was in Makkah Mukarramah, he sold some items and one of the nobles refused to pay him money. When this happened, some of the youth of Makkah Mukarramah, and at that time Zubair bin Abdul Muttalib, who was the uncle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said this sort of injustices cannot continue, wherein travelers, newcomers come to our town, they are abused by the noble. Justice needs to be taken as a collective for these type of people. They must be given security, the lawlessness must come to an end, and if anyone is victimized from any noble, then all the people of Makkah, immaterial of your tribal coalitions that you have, the person who has been victimized and who has been abused, his right must be given to him. That's all the Hilful Fudul is about, which took place in the house of a noble at that time whose name was Abdullah bin Jur'an. It had nothing to do with beliefs or unity in religion. It was purely a social reform to bring about justice and social reform in a society. That particular aspect is taken and it has been reinterpreted as unity in religion. So what actually transpired there was something different, and how it has been reinterpreted now in this time is too totally different. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time is very short, inshallah. This topic is a very long topic. I just tried to condense these three or four aspects in this year, inshallah. And some other time we'll try and go into detail. So it is very important for us to understand where these messages are coming out from. Different charters are being used. Sometimes they're calling it Medina Charter. Now what happened in the Medina Charter when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina Munawwara, and what is happening now is two different situations. Sometimes they're adopting the name of Makkah Charter, sometimes Imam Charter. Various different names are given, flowery names are given, and it is done in the name of unity. So in the name of unity, we must lose our iman also. So you must be a Muslim but lose your iman. In the name of unity, we must lose your homeland. You must lose everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Lose Palestine, lose Iraq, lose Medina Munawwara also. Everything you must give up. This is basically what they want from us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our progeny. If you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, there is no deen that is more close to Ibrahim alayhi salam than the deen of Islam. Nobody can claim affinity to Ibrahim alayhi salam as the entire chapter, entire surah in the Quran on the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna awla an-nas bi Ibrahim," those who are rightful to Ibrahim alayhi salam, the dearest and closest to Ibrahim alayhi salam, "Alladhina taba'uhu," those who follow Ibrahim alayhi salam, "wa hadha an-nabiyyu," and this nabi, "walladhina amanu," and the believers, they are people who are rightful to Ibrahim alayhi salam. In fact, while regarding the mentions of Ibrahim, the stories of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in detail mentioned in the Quran, his journeys also. His youth also is mentioned. Allah ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدًا. We granted him his rectitude, his moral understanding and thinking, which was correct when he was a youth. And what did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? What is the charter of Ibrahim, the Abrahamic in the Quran? When Ibrahim alayhi salam was a youth, in his youth, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was morally righteous. He abstained from going out in the day when they had their so-called Eid and their so-called Christmas. Ibrahim al-Salam did not participate. In Istaqim, I am sick, he abstained. Ibrahim al-Salam invited them to Islam, they refused. Ibrahim al-Salam went and he broke the idols. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that the righteous action that Ibrahim alayhi salam did. When Ibrahim alayhi salam tried to convince them towards Islam, and he came to a point where it became very difficult, فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, then he disassociated from himself from anything that was distracting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And whilst mentioning the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah says, وَدَّ الطَّائِفَةُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يُضِلُّونَكُمْ. There's a section of people from the people who claim to be of the scriptures. Their desire is that they must deviate you from your deen. وَمَا يُذِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They will only deviate themselves, and they are not oblivious to it. And then Father Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us that يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَلْبِسُونَ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. After mentioning the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam, O people of the scriptures, why are you confounding and clothing falsehood on truth? وَتَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقِّ, and you are concealing the truth, and you know what the truth is. So this is the understanding of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, and what I mentioned previously to understand Ibrahim alayhi salam from the Bible. So the matter is in front of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the Ummah, and wherever the Ummah is suffering, Palestine, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, may Allah alleviate the suffering. May Allah ta'ala give them the strength to fight the forces of evil and batil, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also protect us in our country. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
JazakumAllah khairan to Mawlana for those extremely valuable advices, in which lays the very preservation and protection of our iman. The deen of Allah Ta'ala is there. Allah has taken responsibility of His protection. There will be those who will dedicate their entire selves, even their lives, for His preservation and protection. Important that we remain aligned to deen in its pristine state, and to those who are making the effort of that alignment and protection of deen in its pristine state, though they may be a minority or whatever titles may be given. Allahu Azza wa Jal preserve and protect our iman and protect us from deviation, inshallah. Humble request, we have this opportunity to show our love, dedication to Allah Ta'ala, the house of Allah Ta'ala. Let's inshallah contribute generously to the masjid and madrasa. Any good that will emanate, inshallah, by sincerely spending in the cause, this noble cause of the house of Allah, will have a full share in it. Jazakumullah.
نحمد الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده. أما بعد, يا أيها الناس, أنفقتم خلاصة أيامكم في اكتساب أثامكم طلب الدرهم والدينار وهما يقودانكم إلى النار. اعلموا أن الدنيا دار دائرة ولذتها فانية وطاعتها باقية وحاصلها فوت وآخرها موت. إخواني, بدن ضعيف وسفر طويل وبحر عميق وزاد قليل وصراط دقيق ونار حريق وميزان عديل والحاكم رب جليل والقيامة قريب. يقول الجنة وعدي وعدي ويقول الكعبة زواري زواري ويقول كل ملك مقرب ونبي مرسل نفسي نفسي ويقول رسولنا وشفيعنا سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب أمتي يا رب أمتي. ويقول الجبار جل جلاله حبيبي حبيبي لك ولأمتك وعدي وعهدي. انظر ما أفعل بك, سل تعطى واشفع تشفع ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والله ما أرضى ولو كان واحد من أمتي في النار. ويقول يا عبادي لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون. نفعني الله وإياكم بما فيه من الآي والذكر الحكيم, إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم. نحمد الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وزد وترحم وتحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وارض اللهم عن خلفائه الراشدين المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين خصوصا عن معاوية بن أبي سفيان وعن أزواج النبي أمهات المؤمنين خصوصا عن خديجة وحفصة وعائشة وعن بناته الطيبات زينب ورقية وأم كلثوم فاطمة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم أيد الإسلام وانصاره وذل الشرك وشرك أشراره. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وخذ بنواصينا بالبر والتقوى اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا وأصلح أئمتنا وولاة أمورنا واجعل اللهم هذا البلد آمنا مطمئنا رخاء سخاء وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة استتن الصف Straighten yourself, fill in all the gaps. Sure. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولا يتمنونه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم أحينا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم انصرنا وانصر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحمنا وارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم احفظنا واحفظ أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا واغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عنا وتجاوز عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج عنا وفرج عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارفع الكرب عنا وارفع الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولمن كان له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهل سبحانه ربنا